Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, May 13th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 3, the third paragraph, starting with, "In 1929, I contracted Gulf fever," ending with, "In and out of his till with amused skepticism." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Brandy M., Reader of the Text, Alice G., Christina J. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Eileen M. The reference number for Thursday, May 12th, is 18,947. That's 18947. And for this morning, Friday, May 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,957. That's 18957. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Sharon B., and Elaine B. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. in Rhode Island. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm sorry, I have a very bad cold, so I hope you can understand me. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, in the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, it's Brandy, food addict from Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in a group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 3, the third paragraph. In 1929, I contracted golf fever, ending in and out of his till with amused skepticism. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Alice G. to read and share with us. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. In 1929, I contracted golf fever. We went at once to the country, my wife to applaud, while I started out to overtake Walter Hagen. Liquor caught up with me much faster than I came up behind Walter. I began to be jittery in the morning. Golf permitted drinking every day and every night. It was fun to chrome around the exclusive course, which had inspired such awe in me as a lad. I acquired the impeccable coat of tan one sees upon the well-to-do. The local banker watched me whirl fat checks in and out of his till with amused skepticism. So I can just really relate to Bill in this paragraph by his determination. Like, I always had this determination when I found a new diet or a new exercise routine or a new personal trainer or a new protein shake or a new organic supplement. And just trying and trying and trying, my will, right? My will pushing through, trying to control, manage, and fix the disease. And it never, never worked. He says, I was jittery in the morning. The disease is progressing, as mine did. I kept trying all those things. And yet, as my body aged, my disease progressed. And it was getting worse and worse. And while I could maybe run for a while and get some weight off, keep up that exercise routine, eventually my feet started to give out on me, you know, and then I would be back in the food and I would be binging and then I would develop heart palpitations. I remember binging and going to bed and just feeling my heart pounding in my chest. And then the gastroesophageal reflux disease that I got as my disease progressed. in the end, I was alone in my pantry or in the basement binging or driving around to fast food restaurants. And the disease, I have to remember, is cunning, baffling, and powerful. I couldn't see it when I was still struggling to fight against it. And I was thinking I had power, choice, and control, and I would try this or that. The mental devastation, though, that came over me was too much in the end. The physical ailments were bad, but the mental devastation and the cloud that hung over me every day when I would wake up and think, today's going to be the day, I'll get abstinent, I'll take my vitamins, and by the end of the day, I would be eating again, and then wake up again hating myself. The food convinced me of my powerlessness and unmanageability. And I'm thankful for every sponsor that tried to help me. I had multiple sponsors in OA try to help me. And when I finally hit my knees and threw my hands up in the air and said, I will do anything, that's when my life started to change and get better, when I got entirely abstinent and followed directions, taking the hand of others instead of saying, I got this. You know, that's what my 2-year-old granddaughter says. I got this. I'm not a little kid anymore. I have to surrender because this disease will kill me. So today I thank God for the gift of desperation, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Alice G. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Helen in Northern Danielle. California.
Helen?
Danielle W.
And Danielle? Huffman.
Thank you.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's start with that. Helen from California, if you'd start us off and please give me the initial of your last name, followed by Danielle W., Christina J., and Jordan L. Go ahead, Helen. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Helen C., as in cat, and I am a compulsive eater in Northern California. And I could really relate to this paragraph as well because I mean, here's Bill enjoying what should be like a really high point of his life. He's getting to golf. He's making money. He's getting a tan. You know, he's really and I mean, golf is his passion. He's getting to experience his passion on this golf course that he dreamed about and looked up to, you know, admired as a young man. And yet he's jittery in the morning because of his disease. And there's this undercurrent of alcoholism that he can't get away from. And I relate to that presently in my life as I moved from Los Angeles. I bought a house in Northern California 6 months ago. And this is an amazing time in my life. But yet, the food is dragging me down. I relapsed about 2 months ago. I wasn't going to meetings, you know, the whole deal. We've all heard it. We've all maybe done it at one time or another that I stopped going to meetings and I was focusing on another program and I was so busy, you know, with my home and all the excuses to not address my food addiction. And then it just swallowed me up. And I'm pretty beaten up because, yes, it's progressive. I'm really understanding that now on a deeper level. I'm bulimic, and even saying that, I think, no, you're not, because I only did it several years ago for a brief period of time, but no, I can qualify myself as a bulimic, and I need to be honest with myself about that. I'm a binge eater, and I'm a bulimic, and today, my prayer, I've been praying, getting on my knees the past week when I wake up. And what I'm asking God for is to help me let go, because I don't know how to let go. I want to try and manage my food. I really want this to work. And it's like I'm sitting at this control board and I'm trying to get, you know, the right frequency. It's like music, you know, I'm trying to get a little bit of bass, a little bit of drums, and I'm just trying to create this thing, and I can't do it. I cannot do it. If I coulda, I woulda. And I wouldn't be in a 12-step program. If I was normal and I could just adjust my food and assess and say, well, I've gained a little bit of weight, so why don't I cut out, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I'll exercise more. And I am incapable of managing my food. And so I'm here with my fellows, and I'm saying to you that thank you, that I'm just grateful to be on this meeting. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Helen C. from California. Danielle W., share with us, followed by Christina J., and let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. This is Danielle W., normally from Southern California, but by way of Vancouver for the next few months, and I am recovered one day at a time. Very happy to be here. This particular line really struck me. I contracted golf fever. There was always a new fever for me, a new passion, a new interest, right? Because that's what was going to make me happy, right? I had found a new friend, and now my life was going to work. A new boyfriend, a new job. This job is going to be the one. This is the one where I'm going to start to live my life. And the truth was, you know, I was trying to fill this hole, this huge hole inside me. And I would get very excited and very hopeful about that next thing, whatever it was. And I relate very much to the first share this morning, which was so beautiful about, you know, the next diet, the next protein shake, all of those things. But for me, it was also the way I was living my life. You know, I could not bear the pain of being where my feet were. The suffering was too great for me. And it's so interesting, after working this program and being abstinent for a long time and continuing to show up and do the work, being of service and walking the path with a higher power, my life really hasn't changed. You know, my job is very much what it was, you know, 10 years ago. I have the same family dynamic, you know, so I still have the same activities and interests, and yet I get up every morning and I'm just so grateful for the life that God's given me. And that's the shift. I am not trying to find external things to fill this void in me. The healing has happened. And as long as I continue to show up and do the work, I get to enjoy this beautiful life that I've been given, that I just didn't even know I had before. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle W., originally from California. Christina J., will you share with us, please?
Good morning again, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today. Well, Bill had a few years of seeming success, but then the addiction got worse and he goes into isolation, the lone wolf, him and the booze sitting alone together. I imagine him pouring drink after drink, completely powerless to try and fight the allergy. Everything he'd built up in his career slowly drowning in the booze. But then he contracts what he calls golf fever, a state of illusionary desperation, to prove to some deep lost part of himself and everyone around him that he's successful and rich. But there's no connection to anything except the need to prove to the world that he's important, an extremely empty, isolated place of existence. This he fills with booze and the false bravado of caroming around the golf course, imagining he was well-to-do, throwing fat checks around, holding on to a fantasy, illusion that has no reality whatsoever. You know, I got the same fever, the fever of the desperate illusion that I needed to prove myself. I caromed around musical performance stages, musical conventions, award shows, radio stations, dragging myself and my husband across the country and back and into Europe 3 times, and nothing, no matter how hard it was going to stop me. I didn't arrange this career per se so I could keep eating. I ate because of the buildup of my human emotions. I, like Bill, had no connection to anything but my selfish need to prove myself and the food which gave me the ease and comfort of that deep empty place within me. That's the deeper message for me here. At some point, at least for me, I couldn't continue to live from a place of selfishness, dishonest self-centeredness, and fear. I do not believe that this is our natural birthright to live this way. I believe we're deeply caring and loving people, and that we get sidetracked by our wounds and the way we were taught to handle life. Thank God for this dis-ease that finally drives us to a place of not knowing what to do. With our voices crying out to the fellows in OA for help, that's where I finally got to. This is where the true journey to who you really are begins, right here, right now. Every day I find a new part of myself I haven't seen before because of this journey, and the food is down. Once the food is down, I begin to rise up and appear, the true me, the true you, the true caring, loving person that's not focused on selfishness and self-centeredness. Now, Bill didn't know he was young. He was just doing the best we could. That's all we all did, the best we could. But being driven by wounds and the way society teaches us we need to be, we got no chance in hell. And how do we comfort that place of us that's so desperate and fearful and wanting to prove ourselves and wanting to be validated and loved? We comfort it with the food, the only thing we know. And, of course, that triggers the allergy and we're down for the count. So I'm suggesting to really dive into this, put the food down, and get going on your life. It's here for you. This is a miracle that we're all here. Love you guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Now, before Jordan shares, I'd like to remind you we're on page 3, the third paragraph. In 1929, I contracted Gulf fever, ending in and out of his till with amused skepticism, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. So we're looking forward to your shares. Following Jordan L., I'll be taking a lineup. So go ahead, Jordan L., please share with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent this morning. I like this paragraph. It's a testament to Bill's recovery. There's like some joking in here, and some sort of like being able to laugh at himself and not take himself so seriously. Like the joke about liquor caught up with me much faster than I came up behind Walter, and the bit about the local banker watching him whirl fat checks in and out of the till with amused skepticism. Because this is like, Bill's talking about a pretty dark time in his life here. you know, like he's moved him and his wife. This like Gulf fever thing is supposed to be the answer to helping him like slow down with his liquor consumption. And instead it like, this is where the boomerang is starting to turn on him, you know? We read about, like, the alloy of drink and speculation earlier this week, the boomerang. and it's starting to turn around. It's, like, it's no longer working for him. It's starting to work against him here. So it's a testament to his recovery that he can kind of joke about it. Later on down the line, what is it, like 3.5 years later, whatever, whenever he's writing about this as a recovered alcoholic and telling his story, describing what it was like in the disease. So I know for me, that I was always thinking that my activity, kind of like this, like Bill's got his activity, golf. I was always thinking that was going to be my answer. If I could just start doing this regular thing or that regular thing, then that's going to be like the distraction I need from the food. It's going to take me out of my compulsive overeating, that cycle of sprees and what it is that I do. as a compulsive overeater. And what I found out is that
Jordan, press star one. Okay. Well, Jordan was out of time as well, but thank you so much, Jordan L., for your share. And now I'm going to go ahead and take a lineup of names of people who would like to share. We are on page 3, starting with, in 1929, I contracted Gulf fever. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Maggie M.
Maggie M.
Lucy Debbie O.
Debbie P. And who was that other voice?
Lucy O.
Lucy O.
Yep.
Okay. Someone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Eileen M., Maggie M., Debbie P., and Lucy O. Go ahead, Eileen. Please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, you know, I look at this and I see, you know, Walter Hagen was a pro golf player, and he was at the time, you know, among the best in the world. And it just... the thought of this is just, to me, so unrealistic and actually humorous. But I relate to that whole thing about, you know, wanting to be noticed and wanting to be seen and recognized. And it's just, you know, depending on the outside. Just like, let me fix the outside and somehow that will fix my inside. And I can just relate to this so well because it's, you know, it just, to me, that just sounds like a whole, it's a big distraction, really. I mean, you know, he wants to be in this exclusive club, you know, of people that, it reminds me of the sentence, you know, in the chapter where it says, I had arrived. You know, it's like, here I am, you know, here I am, world, look at me, kind of thing. And it's just that, you know, that striving for happiness, you know, while at the same time ignoring the real problem. You know, and it's just like so not real. And I can relate because I too pursued many distractions because I thought that, you know, the outside appearance was going to fix the problem. And you know what? It just never worked. Because, you know, what I learned was that, you know, this is an inside job and my higher power, you know, changes me on the inside. And that's how, you know, that's the recovery. So I'm really grateful we're reading this, and thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Maggie M., will you share with us now, followed by Debbie P.? Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning. This is Maggie, recovered compulsive overeater. So reading this, I didn't think I would relate because I've never been good at sports. I've never been athletic at all. But in 2020, I contracted Peloton fever. I was living in sober living, like a facility for people in recovery, and we were in lockdown, and they decided to get us a Peloton so that we would be able to pass the time. And for the first time in my life, I got in really good shape. And it was all about my outsides. And I was obsessed with that machine. It ruled my life. And I was obsessed with getting a tan too. So instead of focusing on recovery, which is what I was there for, the purpose of my life was to get thin and to get tan. And I did both of those things, because I wanted that applause. That validation and approval from other people that this paragraph refers to. And so when I finally moved out of sober living, I thought that was my moment where I thought I arrived. But I started to panic and I thought I was going to lose it all.
So I went about acquiring my own Peloton, and at the time there was a shortage. You couldn't buy them online. So I bought a used one, and I was out until 1 a.m. that night trying to find a U-Haul. I bought one off of some person. I bought this 30-foot, or I rented a 30-foot truck that I had no business driving, was terrified behind the wheel of that thing. And it was just this long, terrifying process so that I could get my Peloton so I wouldn't put on weight. And I was a slave to that thing. And eventually the boomerang came back to hit me too. So today I'm trying to develop a relationship with exercise that is not about that applause, that approval, that's about a connection with the power greater than myself. And it's bumpy. I'm still figuring it out. But what I've learned is that the next diet, the next machine, those things aren't going to fix me. They're not going to make me feel okay within myself. My most important relationship today is my relationship with God. And I'm trying to seek that in everything I do, from exercise, from how I relate to other people, to how I sit in silence. And I just know that today my worth is not in the size and shape of my body. Okay. That's really all I wanted to share today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maggie M. Debbie P., will you share with us now, please, followed by Lucy O., and then I'll be opening up the line to take some more names. We are on page 3, the third paragraph. In 1929, I contracted Gulf fever, commenting on that one paragraph only. Go ahead, Debbie P.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. My name is Debbie P. I'm from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What I heard out of this sentence, first of all, or this paragraph, was all kind of fevers. I have had all kind of fevers. Fevers to me are the obsessions. That's anything from people, places, things, emotions, whatever it is that I can avoid seeing or looking at myself and seeing the truth. All of those usually included some sort of food entertainment, anything that would allow me to eat as I wanted to eat. Parties, buffets, whatever. And the word free was always something that got my attention and would make me break abstinence in a heartbeat. But then food always caught up to me. It always made me feel defeated. But it was fun at the time, for a long time. I wanted to be discovered. It's funny. I look back on it now and I see I wanted to be a popular singer. I wanted to be a movie star. I really wanted to be famous, but I didn't want to do the work, and I didn't. So, of course, I'm not a popular singer and I'm not a movie star. I just kept eating instead. Once I got fed up with chasing this illusion of, food will fix it, then I can see the truth, and I have abstinence today because of being able to see the truth. And that's thanks to my higher power. It's thanks to willingness to keep coming back. It's thanks to Vision and all the fellows that are here every day for me. I know that's for yourselves as well, but you're really helping me, and I appreciate that. And I will pass with that. Thank you so much for letting me share today.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. Now, Lucy O., will you share with us, please?
Lucy O., South Dakota. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering. And I'm kind of new to the program again, and I sometimes have a hard time relating to the big book, but something somebody said made me think about the fact that over the years, I've always had this big goal in mind or trip or something where I'm going to go and I'm going to have been absent and I'm going to be physically looking good, feeling good, and it's all going to be great and wonderful. And I mean, it's like months out or something. And then I lose my recovery halfway to that big event. And By the time I go, I'm miserable and I don't enjoy myself. And I realized this morning how I'm always living in the future and that I just need to stay in the present and keep working the program. And ironically, I have a trip planned to the end of June, and I'm 2 months abstinent now about, and this is so appropriate because I'm so looking forward to this and I'm feeling so good right now, and I just don't want to lose it by then, but I need to stay in my moment, make plans, not fail to plan for this trip, and stay in the program while I'm there. And I guess that's all I have this morning. I don't talk a lot in meetings, but I am so glad to be able to listen to all of you, and I appreciate everyone's service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy O. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take some more names. We're on page 3, the third paragraph. In 1929, I contracted Gulf fever, and we're reading through that entire paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Liz A.
Liz A. And was that Larry G?
Yes, ma'am.
Barbara W.
Barbara W.
Ron G.
And Ron G. And we'll stop there. Okay, Liz A., Larry G., Barbara W., Ron G. Go ahead, Liz. Please share with us. Liz, press star 1. Okay, perhaps Liz had to...
I'm sorry.
Oh, there we are.
Good morning. I'm from Michigan. I'm recovering from compulsive overeating, bulimia, anorexia. This paragraph, oh my goodness. I was very young. I took a one-way ticket from Michigan to California because I also was going to be discovered. And I ended up competing in ballroom dance. And I had such a blast that I lost the weight. But as this disease progressed and my obsession progressed with managing my food addiction and my dis-ease, I had to resort to greater and greater lengths to the point of purging, exercising 6 straight hours a day. And yet I sabotaged almost every attempt when I was offered a role or whatever, I would sabotage it. And I had this idea that if I just lost the weight, everything was going to be fine. Everybody was going to like me and it was going to solve all my problems. And I did lose a bunch of weight and I found out I had a lot more problems than just, you know, the weight, and that my obsession and drive, and it wasn't over yet. I mean, I continued to pursue that I was going to prove my worth and I was going to prove to my family, like, this craziness, and prove to myself that I was worthwhile. And somehow God found me in that mix and mess. And I've had to let go of all that. This is an inside job. Grateful for God and the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. from Michigan. Now, Larry G., will you share with us, followed by Barbara W.? Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning, family. I love this paragraph. I don't pretend to know what's going on with Bill in this moment. I think I do. I'll identify my own story here and not try to interpret what's going on, but I think I know what's going on, Bill. For me, and maybe Bill, living an ordinary life was just beyond my comprehension. I could not live in my own mind an ordinary life, right? I had to live an extraordinary life. And until I got really, really absent here in 2020, I'm okay with living an ordinary life. I'm okay with being an ordinary guy today. But I was going to backpack the Triple Crown, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide, the Appalachian. And I was training for that, right? But I was training to do it to lose weight. And I was at a very dangerous weight, and I ended up injuring my knee, and now it looks like I'm going to have a knee replacement, right? And I was going to bike across America. That was another thing that I was going to do, bike across America. And then I got involved into competitive stand-up paddleboarding, right? All of which I had this notion in my mind, like Bill, who was going to overtake Walter Hagen. I was going to become outstanding in these various ventures, right? But really, part of the motivation was to lose and control weight and get in the best shape ever. In fact, I hired a trainer. I said, hey, I want to be the best 50-year-old in Sacramento. I want to be the best shape of any 50-year-old in Sacramento. And I think Bill, at this point in his life, at the point in my life when I, before I got into a vision for you, it's the terror. There's a terror that you suddenly realize that this addiction is taking over your life, that you have lost control. You no longer have a choice. And for me, I no longer could white knuckle it with exercise and working out. The ability to white knuckle it had been dismantled. And I knew a 100-pounder was in the making, and I couldn't stop it. And I think this is maybe what's going on with Bill, you know, making these geographics, you know, and these decorations that he's going to become a scratch golfer. Now, he knows in the back of his mind that his days are numbered and this alcohol is king and it's going to take him down. Thank God this program, this fellowship has been a game changer for me, studying a paragraph a day, going through the steps of the book, Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, having a sponsor that is a vision sponsor, keeping me accountable, helping me keep accountable. I no longer want to overtake Walter Hagen. I just want to be who I am, the best version I am, and I'm okay with that today, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Barbara W., we share with us, followed by Ron G. Good morning, Barbara.
Yes, good morning, and thank you, Dawn, for your service, and it's so nice to be here with the fellowship. My story might be a bit different, but it has the same meaning. I'm a retired teacher, and I remember just loving what I, in my mind, I wanted to be a master teacher. That meant you could have these student teachers and you could guide them and all sorts of things. And that was my idea of grandiosity. And I had proven my leadership, and I had proven my ability to be a good teacher and manage my classroom. And but I also remember that my disease was becoming very obvious, very big part of my life. And the harder I tried, you know, it was like proving. I remember two generations back, like my grandparents' generation, there was people had succeeded. There was money in the family, and people had succeeded in living in nice homes on Woodland Avenue, you know, and I sort of wanted to be something like that. And yet, without going into detail, my life became nothing like theirs. And with my disease, it was even harder. I could have lost my teaching job because of the way I was eating and acting. I think my behavior was getting in the way of my being this great master teacher. And when I was in a stable, abstinent program, interesting how much more I had accomplished with the classes I had than ever before. And when I retired, I was actually had to retire due to illness. Oh, I never made it to being a master teacher. And in my mind, that was failure. And it was nothing to do with, my mother was a teacher, but it just like had nothing to do with that. I was going to be the best teacher there was ever going to be. Just like my ancestors before me and their success as a doctor, as an owner of a great business. And there comes along Barbara just being an ordinary teacher. And to me, that just didn't seem right. And, I think with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from Washington. Ron G., will you share with us, please?
Good morning, all. Ron G. at Daytona Beach, Florida. I definitely identify with Bill's grandiosity and wanting to for people to check him out for where he was and what he was doing. And that's a character defect I need to address every day, even in abstinence. The sharing reminded me of something that I heard early on, is that I don't have a problem with weight. I have a problem with eating. And that for me today, it's a treat not to have a treat. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Ron G. from Florida. And we do have time for one, like a minute and a half.
Irene?
Okay, go ahead, Irene B.
Alexis from New Jersey.
I'm sorry, Alexis. I don't believe we're going to have time for you, but Eileen, go ahead. Irene.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., recovered bulimic from Louisiana. I really wanted to share about this, and I haven't had time to.
Irene, please press star one.
Oh my goodness, I don't know how that happened. I'm so sorry. Irene B., recovered bulimic from Louisiana. Okay, I'll start. Thank you, God, for all the shares in this meeting and everyone in service. Grandiosity? Yes, yes. My deep sense of inferiority made me compensate into a sense of grandiosity. And I've been a fake and a phony my entire life by putting on masks, pretending, not even realizing myself that I was trying to cover up a deep sense of inferiority.
Time.
Inadequacy. Oh, my goodness. I pass.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. Thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Christina J. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Good morning. Christina J. here again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.